Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation. Recorded live during the Spring 2020 Wednesday webinar series.
So to start out with, I really want you to go grab something to write with and a piece of paper. It could just be a napkin or the back of a receipt or an envelope. It does not need to be your special journal. But please go get something that you can write with. And while you're doing that, we'll talk a little bit about this cliche. This said over and over and over again, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Why is this cliche true? There's always a grain of truth in things that are said over and over and over again. And it's kind of a depressing truth. And to be honest, I often hate it. I hate that my emotional state kind of just spreads its way into what's happening in all the rest of my family. But our children look to us to learn how to navigate the world. Our example is their most powerful teacher. So it's so important for us to think about what it is that we want to be examples of, what it is that we want our children to emulate, what they want to see adults are like, what it's like to navigate and live life in the real world. And a lot of times it's the unspoken lessons that they learn the deepest. So what kind of example do you want to be during this time of being in close quarters in the midst of the unknown? We're all thrown into this new normal. And maybe it won't ever feel normal. And as homeschoolers, I've found this past couple of weeks really disorienting. My kids have always been home. And so having them home isn't a change, but there's certainly a shift in the energy, in the way that we can connect with others, in the way that we're learning and using our time. Certainly different to have my husband home all the time. That adds a totally new dynamic. We're shifting into spring. There's just a little bit less structure. And so it has been a little disorienting. So on your piece of paper, I want you just to jot down answers to these questions. What kind of an example do you want to be? Who do you want to be in the midst of these unforeseen circumstances? What do you want to create in your home? What do you want your relationships to feel like? What do you want more than anything else? What are the things that are most important to you? I find it's always super helpful to start with that kind of an intention, knowing what it is that we most desire, knowing what it is that we most need and want. Sometimes we get just kind of thrown in to the flow of life and we forget to reflect on that. So hopefully you've got a few things written down on your list about the kind of example that you want to be. And now I want you to start another list. What are the thoughts that have been swirling around in your head about this COVID-19 virus pandemic, about this implementation of social distancing, about feeding your family or teaching your kids? There could be a number of things that have just been playing over and over and over in your mind. I want you just really to dump those out of your brain, like write them down on paper. Because we can really get spun in our heads and fixated on things, and that creates a whole lot of worry for us. It can be really helpful just to tangibly write it out and be able to see it with our eyes. What is it that your brain is saying over and over and over again? Now, how do these thoughts make you feel? What are the feelings that you're having along with the thoughts? A lot of the thoughts that I have had are, oh, I really should have been better at keeping on top of my food storage. And that creates a little bit of shame, some anxiety for me. I've thought about that it's so disruptive to not be able to go to our outside activities. I know people are having thoughts of, oh, maybe my kids will get behind. All of these kinds of thoughts. But these thoughts are the things that are creating senses of fear and anxiety and frustration. And we tend to think that our outside circumstances create our feelings. But it really works like this. We interpret our circumstances, which aren't good or bad, with our thoughts. So right now, the circumstance may be your husband is home all the time, right? That's just a fact. It's something that is. There's nothing good or bad about it, but we start to interpret that with our thoughts, and that might create some feelings of frustration because it's hard to work around that new reality. Or maybe just that businesses are closed, incomes are disrupted. Now, those things are not good or bad. They're just facts of what is. It's our thoughts that bring meaning to those things and create the kinds of anxiety or angst that we might have as a result. Our thoughts, whether we are consciously aware of them or not, create our feelings. And it's okay to feel stressed or anxious or frustrated or afraid, right? Of course we're going to feel those things because we're human beings. I think sometimes, I know that I've had the thought, my life really hasn't changed that much. This social isolation isn't that big of a deal. We spend all of our time at home anyway. I shouldn't feel so disrupted by it. But when we kind of shit on ourselves and judge ourselves and think, oh, I notice I'm feeling anxious, I shouldn't feel this way, it just compounds it and makes it that much worse. But it's our feelings that fuel our actions. So what are you doing with the emotions that you're having? Now, maybe you're feeling peaceful. I certainly have had some of those feelings too. I remember thinking when we first really had enforced quarantine, it's like, this is such a great thing. Everyone is going to have a chance just to be home and spend time with their kids. Maybe they'll realize that nothing is really that big of a deal. Kids are natural learning machines. They're not going to fall behind. And this is real life. There's a lot that we can learn from just experiencing real life. I love this quote from Chogyam Trungpa. He says, as long as we're trying to figure out how we can escape from our present situation, we can't notice much about it. Only when we feel that this is it, This is how it is right now. Without any clutching towards something different, will our intelligence really come alive? Often we just fight against reality. We think things shouldn't be this way. There shouldn't be a pandemic. There shouldn't be quarantines, right? My child shouldn't behave the way that they're behaving. But when we shouldn't on things, when we resist what's really happening, we don't have any power to act, right? When we just say, this is it, this is how it is, this is what we have right now, that's when all of our intelligence, our creativity, and our power to act in the moment comes alive. So tonight I'd like to talk about four things that you can do to take time to breathe amid your homeschooling days. And the first is to be honest about the things only you can do. We often get caught up in all the things that we have to do. We have lists in our heads of the things that we have to do. But the truth is, you don't have to do anything. No one is making you do anything. And when we just remind ourselves of that truth, it can be so liberating to realize I am not being forced to stay in my home all day or in my own yard. I have a lot of choices. I could choose to go to a party, to organize a party and be with a bunch of people. I could choose other things, but I'm choosing to comply with the social distancing, to be a good citizen, right? These are things that I'm choosing. Often I tell myself, like, I have to clean the bathroom. I have to get these toilets cleaned. But I don't have to, right? I don't really have to do anything. And as moms, we often think that we are the only ones who can load the dishwasher right, or do the bedtime routine right, or clean the toilets right, or fold the laundry right. We always have, and we have a list of things that we think we are the only ones that can do those things. But is that really true? Does the world end if someone else does those things, or some of those things are left undone? It's important that as moms and as those taking care of everyone in our homes, it's important that you realize that you are the only one that can enjoy food for you. I know so many of us just forget to eat all day, or wait until we're starving and then overeat on junk because we're not prepared and we haven't taken the time to just enjoy nourishing our bodies. But only you can do that. Only you can move your body for you. And only you can commune with God and say your prayers for you. Only you can go outside and breathe fresh air for you. Only you can say a prayer in your heart. No one else can do those things for you. And I want you to be really honest about the things only you can do. And make those things a priority in your life. And watch what it is that you tell yourself or you say in your mind about the things that you have to do and the things that only you can do. Make a priority to really do the things that only you can do in reality. Now, the second I want to talk about is that we need to manage energy, not time. Now, it's certainly important for us to stay on top of our calendars and know what's going to happen when, but time is a finite and fixed entity. We only all have the same amount of time in a day, but energy is different. Now, energy is the capacity to move and work in a physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual way, right? And it's the animating force that keeps us alive, awake, engaged, enthusiastic, committed, determined, motivated. Energy is the thing that keeps us going, but it's a limited resource. We don't have endless amounts of energy. And there's two qualities of energy that I want to talk about. The first is that it moves and like pulsations and vibrations, right? It goes up and down. It's not a constant, stable thing, right? And we experience that in our days and in our bodies, right? We know that the amount of energy that we have is not constant. We may feel more lethargic in the mornings or more awake in the mornings. We're all a little different in that way. But it's something that ebbs and flows. Okay? And that's the reality. We don't need to fight against that. This is a quote from one of my favorite books about this that's so helpful, called The Power of Full Engagement by Jim Lehrer and Tony Schwartz. And they say, energy, not time, is the fundamental currency of high performance. Performance, health, and happiness are grounded in the management of energy. We have far more control over our energy than we ordinarily realize. The numbers of hours in a day is fixed, but the quantity and quality of energy available is not. The more we take responsibility for the energy we bring to the world, the more empowered and productive we become. Nature itself has a pulse. So too, as human beings, we work with the rhythms. We are oscillatory beings in an oscillating universe. Rhythmicity is our inheritance. To maintain a powerful pulse in our lives, we must learn how to rhythmically spend and renew energy. Right? So the qualities of energy are this, that it moves in waves and pulsations, and it's not constant and steady, and it seeks balance. And growth comes from stress followed by rest. And unfamiliar sources of stress may require more rest to find balance. Often we kind of create the sources of stress for ourselves. And stress is good. We need stress to help us grow and improve and learn. But if we aren't taking time to rest after some stress, then that growth and learning doesn't have any time to like really solidify and integrate itself into who we are. That works. It works that way with our bones and our muscles, really on a physical level. It works that way with our brains, right? When we stress our minds and start learning new things, if we don't take time to take a break, if we don't take time to sleep well, then there isn't any growth from that stress. We just fall apart. And we often design our stress and create our schedules and move and do and execute our plans. And at this point in time, we are all set up with an unfamiliar set of sources of stress. And they're new. And so even though for many of us that are homeschooling and have been homeschooling for a long time, if our lives don't look different, our set of stressors still are different, and it may require more rest for us to find that balance of work and rest so that we can find some balance and really integrate our experience and help us learn and grow from it. We don't want to just stress things until they break. We have to go with that pulsation and the wave of stress and rest and stress and rest. And one way that we really can manage our energy is with this third thing. Don't check out, check in. Often when we're stressed, we want to zone out and get away from everything. We just want to get away from it all. We want to run and hide, right? And that is a natural response. That's just part of our fight or flight or freeze, right? We do want to run and hide. That's kind of just an instinctive thing to do. But how many of you have ever like zoned out with a check on Facebook that turned into 45 minutes or an hour and 45 minutes of scrolling? Or have you ever been bored, lonely, angry, tired, excited, or depressed and reached for a package of cookies or ice cream or chips to get away from it all? Right, food and social media are common things we use to check out, but yours may be something different, right? You may be someone that just wants to exercise, go for a long run, ignore everyone and everything. Or you just pour yourself into work so that you can ignore things. Or cleaning. Now some of, right, I often wish that some of those things like cleaning was a way that was kind of a checkout for me, but because then my house would be cleaner. But right, all of those things can, anything can kind of be pushed to the edge of just being a buffer, doing it so that we're not really feeling or experiencing the experience that we're having. It's just a way to check out and get away. But how do you feel energetically after you check out? How do you feel after that time suck into Facebook? How do you feel after the package of cookies is gone? Right? When we think about self-care for ourselves, it's so important that we think of the energetic cost of that thing. There are things that we can do for ourselves that will drain our energy and leave us feeling worse after and not rejuvenated and renewed. So how do you check in? With curiosity and creativity and compassion. I love those C words. Notice how you feel and allow yourself to feel. And ask yourself, what is it that I need right now? So I want you to write a list of things that are energizing for you with your piece of paper and your pen. Just start jotting down things. Super simple things that feel energizing to you and renewing. They may be things that are time consuming, but I bet you can think of a lot of things that take 5 minutes or less. I know for me that just walking around outside for as few as 5 minutes, and even if it's rainy or yucky, if I can just get outside and get some fresh air, it's so clarifying. And I always feel closer to God when I am outside in nature. Just moving my body. You can even just try this right now. Just take a big breath and reach your arms up overhead. And then exhale and bring your hands down and interlace your fingers behind your back and draw your shoulder blades together. Let your heart open. And then just twist to one side. And then twist to the other side. And then just sit still and just feel what it feels like to be in your body now. You're so much more aware, and that was simple and fast and easy. I love just connecting with my kids or my husband, like actually just reading to a child or looking at the thing that they've been making. Looking them in the eyes and giving them a hug. I like to just enjoy my pets I've got a cat that I can just snuggle and pet. I have chickens, and I could just stand outside and watch those chickens for a long time. But I find it so relaxing and fun and energizing to look at those chickens. Writing thoughts in my journal, and especially like focusing on gratitude or things that went well so far in my day, can be really clarifying and focusing and energizing. Creating something, working on a project, reading and pondering, having a good conversation with a girlfriend or someone in my, you know, like my mom, but usually a girlfriend, that can be just clarifying and energizing and renewing and laughing. I don't know what I'll do when all my kids leave, but I certainly need the laughing. So good. And these things do not need to be time consuming. You can weave these little tiny things into the fabric of your day. If you can just take some time to pause when you want to check out, see if you can just check in and ask, what is it that I need right now? Should I just call my best friend? Or should I ask someone to tell me a funny joke or find a funny video, find something really funny so that I can get laughing? Those are energizing, renewing ways. So check in instead of checking out. And the fourth thing is that your body can only be in the present moment. So important for us to understand. Our minds like to time travel and just spin, right? So your thoughts will travel to the past and rehash things over and over and over again. And it will worry about the future. But those are places that you don't have a whole lot of power to change, right? There's nothing you can do to change the past. And the only way you can influence the future is in the present moment. But your body can't be anywhere but here and now. The present moment is the only place where you have the power to act. So when you feel a lot of anxiety, tune into your senses. Just get out of your head and into your body. I just invite you to do that right now. Use your sense of hearing and see if you can just listen for the sounds all around you. What is the farthest away sound that you can hear? And see if you can bring that in a little closer. Can you hear something happening in a room in a different part of the house? Just notice what that is. And what are the sounds closest to you? Maybe it's only the sound of my voice. Can you hear your own breathing? You might even hear your eyes blink if you pay attention close enough. Take a second just to see around you. Notice three different colors that you can see in the room around you. And feel the temperature of the air on your skin and see if you can notice the tactile sensation of your clothing on your skin. Are you sitting? Do you feel the pressure underneath your seat? Or are you standing? Do you feel the ground underneath your feet? Just really let yourself get into your body. And then just, I like to bring one hand to my heart and just feel, right? Take a breath and just say, here I am. I'm here right now. I love this quote from Richard Iyer. He said, full joy is felt when we are most aware of our bodies. And that certainly rings true for me. I think of the times that are most memorable in my life and the times that I really felt joy And there was something happening with my body too. And I think Heavenly Father designs full body experiences for us because he knows this truth, that we don't just feel joy in our minds. It's not just an internal experience. It's a physical, visceral thing that happens through our whole body. That's why we get baptized in water all the way, right? You know, giving birth to my children, that's a physical experience, but definitely full of joy. When we are aware of our bodies, that's when we're most capable of that. Now, I'm going to read to you a little bit from my most recent book club book. Because you are always okay in this present moment. And it's called Unthinkable. Let's see if I can get to my place that I had marked. It's by Amanda Ripley. And she wrote this book about disasters and how people survive disasters. And there's this one part in the chapter called Fear. She talks about the most simple but powerful tool that we have. She says, one of the most surprising tactics taught in all seriousness to some of the scariest gun-wielding men in the world is breathing. Just coming full circle to the title of this talk, Taking Time to Breathe. And I thought that this was timely, right? We are in a disaster of sorts. And it's kind of hard for our nervous systems to process because when we are in an emergency, typically we want to run or fight and do something. So a lot of us, the thing that we are doing, a lot of the doing is shopping. We're going to go gather all the things that we can because we need to do something. Our bodies need to do it. That's what our nervous system is telling us. We're in an emergency. I need to do something. And so it's totally natural and logical that that's what people are doing, that we're getting massive amounts of toilet paper and paper products and those kinds of things. It just is an instinctual drive that we have. But even those who come up against catastrophic disasters and traumatic experiences over and over again, the way that they train their brains to handle it is through breathing. Over and over again, when I ask combat trainers how people can master their fear, this is what they talk about. Of course, they call it combat breathing or tactical breathing when they teach it to Green Berets and FBI agents. But it's the same basic concept taught in yoga and Lamaze classes. She talks about a police officer named Keith Nelson Borders. He was shot 10 times in 6 different shootouts as a police officer in Oklahoma and Nevada. Every time he got shot, he breathed deeply and methodically, and he swears by the strategy. He said, it keeps you very calm. You don't start to hyperventilate or panic. Everything just kind of goes in slow motion for you, he says. You say, okay, here's what's going on. I can handle this. I got shot in the head and I'm still alive. Things are working. It's not that bad. And that's one of the interesting things I've learned through this book is through disasters, people generally are kind. It's often the anticipation that is harder for us to tolerate than the actual event itself. When you can get out of your head and into your body, you can realize that you are always okay in this present moment. And I know that most of us will never have this experience where we've been shot in the head, right? But even Keith Nelson Borders was able to keep calm by using his breath, breathing deeply and realizing, I can handle this. It's okay. Everything's working. It's not that bad. Your breath is your most powerful tool. It's a bridge between your somatic and your autonomic nervous systems, right? So what you can control, like your somatic, I can move things, I can take this action. And then your autonomic nervous system is all those processes in your body that your brain controls without you having to think about it. But you can breathe on purpose. But if you didn't try to breathe, right, your body would just breathe itself. It still would keep doing it. And so it's this bridge, right, between that which you can control and that which you can't. And deep diaphragmatic breathing stimulates your vagus nerve. It's this long nerve that goes through your whole body, right? But it's the prime director of your parasympathetic nervous system, which is your rest and digest and relaxation response. So when you breathe deeply with your diaphragm, right, you're stimulating that part of your body, like telling your whole body that you are safe and okay. And nose breathing produces nitric oxide, which purifies the air that comes in through your nose, and it dilates the airways in your lungs. That nitric oxide dilates the airways in your lungs differently, and it doesn't happen when you mouth breathe. And it invites more air into the deeper, lower lobes of your lungs. And that's where there are more receptors for your parasympathetic nervous system. That I'm safe and okay. Your rest, digest, relax, part of your nervous system. So we're going to end with a few breathing exercises. You can put your notes away. And, you know, maybe you'll look weird to your kids, or you can make them do this with you. But we're just going to start with 30 seconds of a bellows breath, which is really simple. We're just going to quickly, forcefully inhale through our nose and exhale through the nose. We're just going to do it for 30 seconds. So let me set a timer really quick so I don't make you hyperventilate. So I'm just turning on my phone, let's put on the stopwatch. And so it'll just be like this. You'll inhale. Okay, it'll just be quick, forceful, in and out your nose. Maybe have some Kleenex ready if you're gonna need it. So let's just start. Inhale, exhale. And use your belly. More seconds. And then stop. And just close your eyes and just let yourself feel your body. Just notice what it feels like in your mind and your brain and all throughout your cells. Feel your limbs, feel your arms. Right, and really forcefully bringing that air in, right, can be really energizing, wake up our minds, take a deep breath. So helpful. I used to have a child that would get really angry and throw tantrums. And I could just say, hold your breath, you know, and he would just like, oh! But often that kind of a thing will just kind of shift our energy, just taking that big breath and holding that. It worked when he was little. Okay, now we're going to try a three-part breath, a big relaxing breath. So I want you to bring one hand to your belly and one hand up to your chest. I'm not far enough away from my camera for you to see. But just one hand on your belly, one hand on your chest. And just let your breath, just let yourself breathe to start a few breaths. And just notice how deep your breath naturally wants to come in. And then I want you to start thinking about expanding your belly. So really expand into your hand as you inhale. And then draw your belly back in as you exhale. And let there be some effort here. So you can use those muscles of your belly as you inhale. Push your hand, your belly into your hand and exhale. You can kind of push your hand into your belly. We're gonna add on to that. So I want you to inhale and expand your belly and then expand into your rib cage and exhale. Let your rib cage come in and belly come in. Do that a couple times. Inhale to belly, rib cage, and then exhale your belly, your rib cage and your belly back. Now we're going to breathe all the way into the top of our lungs. So inhale to your belly, let your rib cage expand all the way up into your collarbones, into your top hand. And then exhale, let your top hand sink down, rib cage draw in, belly draw back. Inhale, belly, rib cage, collarbones. And exhale, collarbones, rib cage, and belly. See if you can find this full body, full capacity of your lungs breathing. And after you really feel both of your hands moving with your breathing, feeling that belly hand all the way into your chest hand, you can relax your hands down, but just kind of keep that awareness of breathing into your belly, expanding through your rib cage all the way up into your collarbones. And then exhaling out all the way. And just take one more big breath there. And the last breathing exercise we're going to do is really simple, equal breathing. So just breathe through your nose, and I don't want you to force it to be deep. I just want you to force it to be, or allow it to be comfortable. And we'll just keep a really steady, like 1, 2, 3, 4 pace. So we'll inhale to 4, pause for 4, exhale for 4, pause for 4. And I'll count it, and I just want you to breathe with me. So inhale, 2, 3, 4. Pause, 2, 3, 4. Exhale, 2, 3, 4. Pause, 2, 3, 4. Inhale, 2, 3, 4. Pause, 2, 3, 4. Exhale, 2, 3, 4. Pause, 2, 3, 4. Inhale, 2, 3, 4. Pause, 2, 3, 4. Exhale, 2, 3, 4. Pause, 2, 3, 4. Keep that rhythm on your own. Maybe even close your eyes these last few breaths. And then just let go of the effort of the rhythmic breathing and just let your body breathe on its own. I want you to feel what it's like to be in your body. Just notice how you're feeling in your heart space. And feel the whole length and weight of your arms. Just notice the quality of the energy in your hands. And feel the whole length of your legs. And feel deep in your belly. Let yourself feel your shoulders and your neck. Notice what's happening in your jaw. And if your eyes are closed, you can open your eyes. It's so helpful in such a short time, right? Just really focusing on getting into our bodies and feeling our breathing can shift and create energy for us. And it can calm us down, right? It's such a powerful tool that brings us into the present moment where we're always okay. We really are. So let's just rehash what we talked about today. First is that we need to be honest about the things only you can do. And then prioritize those things. Manage energy, not time. Right? Your internal experience is the place where you have the most agency and control. The way that you think, right? And the way that you use your energy. That's where you have the most agency. Don't check out, check in. Don't just try to escape. And remember, your body can only be in the present moment. And that's where you can find joy and the power to act. We are in unprecedented times. Who knoweth whether thou hast come to the kingdom for such a time as this? This is a scripture that just keeps coming to me over and over again. We are prepared for this day. We are prepared to live in this world and share our light, take care of our families. We have miraculous technology that allows us to connect. And I just thank you guys for spending your time with us today. And go ahead and stop this part of the presentation. And if you guys have any questions, feel free to ask.
Okay, let me see. We do not have any questions yet. If you have any questions, go ahead and type them into the chat box or into the Q&A.
My cursor.
Okay, Jessica, first.
Okay, go
first
for it.
Question. What if I don't know what energizes me?
I want you to think to like, what did you like to do as, like, what were some of your favorite things to do as a kid? You know, what things make you feel alive and what's fun and enjoyable for you? I think that could be a good starting point, right? I loved jump rope as a little kid, you know, and just trying those kinds of things. And sometimes it's just finding something that just shifts us, right? What makes you feel alive? Maybe that is a better way to phrase that kind of a question. I really do think like getting outside and just breathing some fresh air is pretty universally energizing for people. And I'm not saying that you need to go out and do yard work or go for a run or even a walk, but just being outside and taking a breath or two there. But what things do you find enjoyable? Do you like to play the piano? Or, you know, do you miss your friends? Do you enjoy connection? Right, those things are really good pointers into what energizes you. Or you can think back to like a really good day and just ask yourself, what made that a really good day? And you might be able to pinpoint some little things that were helpful or energizing for you.
Thank you. Next question. Where can I read or learn more about the power of my breath and breathing?
Let's see if I can find it on my bookshelf. Well, I do. I have a podcast episode about breathing. So it's like a full half an hour class about breathing. But, you know, breathing is really, really low tech, but it's experiential, right? So I do have a book, but I can't remember I don't think it's on my bookshelf right here. It's in my bookshelf downstairs. I don't know if I can remember the name of it. I might have it here in my notes. Nope, I don't. But you know, you can always look up Google. But yoga teachers always have good breathing exercises, and you could totally just search YouTube for breathing exercises and the power of breath. Just Google the power of your breath and you'll come up with all sorts of things. Yeah.
Thank you. We have a comment. Thank you for doing these webinars. I'm bummed we can't be in person, but this is a wonderful blessing, especially for the many families that are suddenly thrust into homeschooling. So thank you for that comment. We're glad you're enjoying this.
Yeah, okay. Thanks everyone for coming.
We thank you. We'd like to remind you that you can find these on our Facebook page and on our YouTube channel and our website. And we'll be back next Wednesday at 11 and 6 Eastern, which by the time you get to the West, that's 8 or 3 Pacific. And we hope to see you next week. Thank you so much.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.